This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
With Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, Ron's Electric Motors, Island Wholesale, Wendy's, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, and the Digital Transformation Unit.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Today we're going to be talking about some current affairs, some information that we've gotten out of the House of Assembly yesterday, as well as some things that are making news in terms of our finances. The Minister of Economic Affairs would have spoken today at the Office of the Prime Minister press briefing, as well as Minister of State for Social Services, Lisa Ramming. I don't know that I got anything concrete out of it. Also, I told y'all are going to be right back sitting up in the office of the Prime Minister's press briefing area, eating snacks, getting lectures. 2 days gone from Tuesday. So just how y'all up in there highlighting the business of the week with the sushi and documentary that the kids show that won the awards. I forget the name of it, but good on them. Just so y'all come flocking back when they call you, just keep that same memory close to your chest. Next time y'all come ask me to fight everyone battle who ain't prepared to fight for themselves, like I'm some sort of universal soldier, y'all put on ice and call out when y'all want to see bloodshed. It ain't gonna happen. Y'all go eat up the snacks and let me know the next time they talk to y'all bad, so I could remind y'all, y'all sat there. Okay, so I don't know that I got a lot out of Michael Halkidis. I don't know that I got anything out of Lisa Ramming. I actually got not much at all out of Lisa Ramming. And I know this is going to sound like, oh, you're picking on women and all. I don't know what she's talking about. She talked about how they're going to address gender-based violence. She still didn't specifically detail what's different than the current Sexual Offenses and Domestic Violence Act. They asked her about marital rape. She didn't even begin to address what marital rape actually is. She said gender-based violence covers everyone. It's either that the question isn't specific enough, or she doesn't quite understand it, or the reporters aren't familiar enough to flesh it out. I don't know. But marital rape is a very specific thing to do with the statutory definition of rape in law that has an exclusionary clause that does not allow married people to make complaints of rape unless there are very specific conditions that are met that have to do with a court determining the status of your marital situation. And unless you're eliminating that exclusionary clause, then you are not dealing with marital rape. That you're bringing gender-based violence legislation is all well and good. I still don't understand what it does. Maybe I need a second listen to understand what it does differently. That does not deal specifically with marital rape, just the fact that you're bringing that. Okay? So I don't know what I'm getting out of these things anymore. I'm not sure why we're doing them other than to go see what the new business of the week restaurant has going on for us to sample their food. Other than that, I'm not sure. All right. So I don't get it. I don't get why we're having these things. I don't get why. I don't get what comes out of it. Maybe that's me. Maybe I'm the crazy one who doesn't see what the benefit is. But it seems like a waste of all of our time to me. It seems performative, right? Like you haul particular ministers out who may or may not have something significant to say. Lisa Ramming says this legislation, she starts talking about the Christie administration, which I'm not trying to pick on Lisa Ramming. Again, I'd be ashamed to come say I'm trying to bring something that's been in the works for 10 years that no government since 2012 when a committee was formed could actually bring forward at this point in time. But that's just me. I would have phrased it differently. But that's just me, and I'm trying not to be unfair because you guys like to call me like a misogynist and all that stuff. Like, oh, talk about the women. I just hold everybody to the same standard. So just like, and I like Halkidis, and Halkidis says he's going to come on the show. He said he was going to come about the real property tax, and now he says, now his people say he's going to come when we're dealing with the mid-year budget, which the mid-year budget debate is expected to begin on the 16th of February, so a couple of weeks from now, and then he'll come then. I need him to come talk about real property tax, because I'm getting a lot of static from people out here who have a lot of questions about real property tax. There's a lot of people with commercial properties where the value has skyrocketed, and that may be a justifiable expense or a justifiable thing that you've done, that you've greatly increased the valuation of those properties. But people do need to understand the methodology, and they do need to understand that there's a process in which they can actually dispute that, and that process apparently expires at the end of March, and so they need that. So about the Office of the Prime Minister press briefings thing, I don't know what the point is anymore. And I'm not saying that to throw shade on anybody. I'm just being real with you. I don't know what the point is. Again, performative, right? We're going to stand up here, we're going to dress up, and we're going to act like we're really responsive to the public. I don't get it. I don't see the value of it. Because I didn't walk away from there today with anything. And that's no shade to Halkidis or Lisa Ramming. I walked away with nothing more than I went in with. Okay, yesterday in the House of Assembly, 323-6232 is the number if you want to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4316, and 325-4259. Those are the messages. We're going to have Erica Morris talking to us at the one after the 1 o'clock break about an initiative she's doing about scholarships, etc. 422-4796. All right. So again, I got nothing out of today. That's just me. Okay. Maybe you did. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Not me. I don't. And, you know, I've been told over the past few days that not everybody's feeling my flex because I'm on my own run and I'm not this middle of the road, like on whatever populist run you guys are on. But I don't see the point. I don't get it. I don't get like what the big like the graphics are for and the big like Office of the Prime Minister draw. I don't get it. Design looks pretty, right? Looks great. Does it actually have any substance to it? I think that's a fair question we should ask ourselves. All right. Says great show as usual. One, I don't mean to sound like a tool, but marital rape don't make no sense. People might as well stay boyfriend and girlfriend. Well, marriages about many more things than sexual intercourse, although that is a critical part of it. Marriage has to do with the transfer of property, has to do with legal obligations of ownership and responsibility toward the other party. That is why it is often so difficult to unravel, although sexual relations in a marriage, again, that is a critical issue, particularly for people who are still sexually active. But it's not a matter of marital rape making sense so much. It's a matter of the Bahamas having signed on to the United Nations Human Rights Council's Committee on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. We signed on to it in the 90s, or was ratified in the 90s anyway. During the last administration, our attorney general, our chief legal officer, okay, went to Switzerland in Geneva and told the United Nations Human Rights Council that we were going to criminalize marital rape. So whether or not it makes sense to you is immaterial in light of the fact that we've already said that we're going to do it. So in addition to where we had already obligated ourselves to do it, just like we obligated ourselves to provide water to those who didn't have access to potable water, just like we obligated ourselves to provide education for free or access to free education, we've obligated ourselves to this, okay? In addition to that, your current prime minister, Philip Brave Davis, you're going to have to take this up with him. Because he said marital rape is wrong, and we got to have a conversation about it. I don't know why we keep having these conversations about it if the people in charge already say it's wrong. Like, didn't you feel like 12% VAT was wrong, and you handle that, like, without any big hiccup? So in the same vein, you feel 12% VAT is wrong, and you change it to 10%, in one day, then you could do that with marital rape. I don't know that Lisa Ramming knows what we're doing with it. Didn't strike me as though she did. Okie dokie. We got a call? Great. Let me get my headphones. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Vaughn. What's up, brother?
Hey, I'm great. What's going on?
I'd like to give a special hello and thank you to the persons. And I think that's the printing company down for me. That's,
Printmasters.
Yeah, the ladies are tremendous.
Yeah, they're excellent.
Customer service, and I thank them. Mr. McCartney, two questions I need to ask you. If I'm married to a woman, I'm speaking hypothetically, people. If I'm married to a woman, and I come home one day, and I feel into the urge to have intimacy with my lady, and she tells me, my wife tells me, she has a headache, she don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
But I decide to take my wife, and when she goes in the room, throw in the bed and yuck off her clothes. Okay, that's one example. And I decide to throw myself on top of her, force myself on top of her against her will. But now watch this. Tom walks down the road, meets this lady, takes the lady, throw in the bush, yucks off her clothes against her will. And he rapes her. What is the difference between that and the wife? There is none. And I want any pastor, I want any clergy, men or women, anybody to define against your will. If you could determine, because I am married to a woman, I have the right to yuck her clothes off against her will. And Tom, who walks down the road and yucks that woman's clothes off against her will, there is no difference.
Yeah,
there is none.
Rape is rape to me. Thank you very much, my friend.
And I applaud Mr. Davis. And I can say this, I can shoot one across the bow at the PLP. Mr. Davis, if you're listening to this or whoever listening to who close to Mr. Davis, please let certain people speak on certain subjects. Because the only thing they're doing to us as a party is making us look like we are lost and making Mr. Davis look bad. So I advise my party. Mm-hmm. When you're going to have these persons speak on behalf of the party, make sure that they have their I's dotted and their T's crossed, because like, the feedback from the wider community as a PLP strong supporter with some people who speak, it ain't good. I being real, now if y'all want to accept what I say, it's cool. And I want y'all to remember one thing. We ain't no different when it comes to the people. We said that we want to help the people And we're going to be there for the people. Because we see the turmoil and the misery and the misery index that the country ran under Mr. Menace. Now, if y'all people come in this government, because especially some of y'all for the first time believe y'all just arrived, trust me, this a warning. This a warning from DeWitt Williams, a strong PLP supporter. Help the poor people. I am telling you, because if y'all don't decide to help the poor people, I can come on these radio stations and I can book a 2-hour show and I can pay for it and I can call your name out. I want y'all to help the poor people in this country who are suffering. Thank you, Mr. McCartney.
All right, my brother. Yeah. So, you know, to me, you know, I'm not going to get into a debate over it, whether marital rape's a thing or not. Over 80% of the countries in the world have criminalized marital rape. This hasn't been anything where men have been hauled before the courts and imprisoned because their wives are spiteful or vengeful. Throughout the world, you have to show me where that has happened that informs that fear that some men have. On top of that, it's a moot point in that your prime minister after prime minister has said they support criminalizing marital rape. Attorney general after attorney general, the country's chief legal officers have said they will criminalize marital rape. Allison Maynard Gibson said it. Carl Bethel said it. Okay, so this isn't a kind of a nuanced issue where there's great political divide over it. The only bar to this is backlash from the church, from what I can see, right? Same church that has a problem with domestic violence won't back any call for marital rape as a collective. The only one who came close was Pastor Dave Burrows, Dr. David Burrows of Bahamas Faith Ministries International, who did release a paper that members of the church put together. And we went through it on the show, I don't know if you remember, years ago. And they recognized that marital rape was indeed a thing, but said they had some conflict with the biblical principles of marriage and call for certain other things to be in place if marital rape were to be in place in order to protect, in their view, the sanctity of marriage. And while I don't necessarily agree wholeheartedly with BFM's position, they at least had the thoughtfulness and the compassion to look at it from numerous angles and author something that they believed was capitulating to say that, yes, marital rape is a thing, but also the institution of marriage is not the same as a regular relationship, consensual or non-consensual. All right? Like I said, I don't necessarily agree with everything they said, but I appreciate that they took the time to look at it. In my personal view, two things. Sex, okay, is only under very certain specific circumstances a transactional issue. In almost every circumstance, sex is an issue that deals with emotion and attraction, and those two things are often intertwined. The other thing is a marriage license is not a license to purchase a particular woman. All right? So you don't just get to do a marriage license. You're not buying an iPad, okay, or a Ford Explorer, we'll say, right? You don't get to do whatever you want with it once you sign on the dotted line. You're talking about human beings, right? Just like your children aren't yours to do whatever you want with, neither is your wife, all right? Or your husband, if we're going there. And whatever last bastion of religious dogma a lot of men are clinging to because they fear that this is the line in the sand that separates the weak from the strong, I don't get it, but I've heard a lot of men say it, so I don't dismiss it outright. Here's what I learned. Maybe I'm just a sucker. If you make your wife feel good, more likely than not, she's going to have sex with you. That's just how I've learned relationships work and marriages work. I've only been married for 10 years, so maybe a lot of you know different than I do. If you make her feel good, if you make her feel loved, if you make her feel like she's special, she's likely to have sex with you. That's just me. It may work differently for other people. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
One.
Hey, what's happening?
How you doing, man?
I'm great.
Good. Listen, let me preface what I'm going to say by saying this first. Mm-hmm. I was married before. God rest my wife's soul. Married for many years.
Good.
We got married as a young couple, and we had a very, very good coach prior to marriage. But,
good.
You know, I think a lot of married couples, they get married just for infatuation and money and all sorts of things. But my wife and I, deceased wife and I, had a very good coach. Let me see if I could explain. See, with them, sound good, but they get a little emotional. Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean? You got to take the emotions out of it in some areas. A marriage between a man and a woman is an actual contract. Okay? There's a price to pay if you can try to get out of a contract. We know that. We know that with buildings and all them stuff like that. That is a contract between God and man.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, God isn't going to come down and let you sign the contract. He could use a man like a priest or Jesus.
His representative.
Or somebody like that.
Huh? His representative oversees
the contract.
Yeah, he's
going to use a representative.
I got you.
So you and your wife sign that book and you'll sign that contract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
I do not agree with marital rape, per se.
Mm-hmm.
What I disagree with and is on the law book is abuse. It's physical, verbal, mental abuse. Like do it say, no, you can't lick your wife down in the bed and take off her clothes. If you come home and you feel like sex and you ask your wife if she doesn't have a really, really, really legitimate excuse, you can either defer that for another time or if she don't feel like it, but because of the contract, she has to make herself available by whichever means is necessary. To shout at her, to put your hands on her, to beat her, to tear off her clothes, no. We have laws against that. I ain't got nothing to do with marriage. That's abuse. That's whatever you want to call it. But marital rape, where two of you are joined together, you contractually authorize each other to do what you have to do. So that is the way I look at it, being a young married couple from Father Thompson. That's the way he explains it to us. I don't know what you think about that.
No, I understand what you're saying exactly. And you, a marriage is something that you work on, right? And sex is one aspect of it. And a lot of the other aspects of your marriage, they flow into whether or not you're having sex, right? So you would know this as a man, right? So there are certain conditions under which a woman feels secure, feels comfortable, feels loved, and she wants to give herself to you. And there are other conditions where she feels as though that's not something that she wants to do because she doesn't feel that connection.
It's a compromising thing.
Right. Now, you'd also know if you're married that begging is one of the tools in your toolbox there. So,
it's a compromise.
I'm not too proud to beg, so there's that as well.
It's a compromise. If you come from work and you just got knocked by a jackhammer to work and your wife say, baby, I feel like having sex, and you say, sweetie, I just get knocked with a jackhammer. See this thing here? She would say, okay, not till tomorrow. You don't expect her to grab you and lick you down and try. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just a compromise.
Right.
You know, ain't no such thing as no marital rape. That's the reason why the court, in an actual court of law, you can't win that. Yeah. Or it'd be extremely difficult to prove. You understand? So I agree with Prime Minister in this instance. Thanks for taking my call, brother.
No, I appreciate it. It's, you know, it's not just a black and white issue. These are issues that permeate marriages, and a lot of marriages have very great difficulty. But again, I think we can agree that you shouldn't rape your wife. I don't think that you should just say there's no circumstance under which you can rape your wife. It just doesn't intuitively make sense to me. All right? I do understand the fair that you will be unjustly accused, but that could happen in any case, right? So any woman, man, child, whomever can accuse you of doing something. So it's great show as usual, Juan. You know what's going to happen? Some wife, out of spite, will give their husband sex and then go to the police and call rape. Watch it will happen. I mean, that could happen. Anything could happen. Because that... Okay, let me ask you this. Because currently, any woman, or let's just stick with women and men. Let's not, we're not the get you guys not to complicate the issue. Because any woman right this moment can accuse any man who she had sex with of rape, does that mean we eliminate rape in all forms? Because as it stands right now, you could have had consensual sex with a woman an hour ago and you thought everything was fine, and she can right now go to the police and say you raped her. And the burden of proof is on her, right? And the state, if they want to prosecute you. But because women can now do that, do we just say that we eliminate rape altogether? That there's no possibility of it? So I get that it's nuanced, but at the same time, I don't see why it's so complicated. As again, 80% of the world has already criminalized marital rape. So, you know, this isn't a very complex issue, and that the Minister of State for Social Services can't really answer it clearly one way or the other is strange to me, considering it's such an incredible priority that we've already signed on to and said that we would do. So I don't get it. That's just me. She should at least be able to speak to it, particularly since the Prime Minister himself said that, you know, he thinks it's wrong. Okay? We got a call. Are we going to go to break? We can go to break. No problem. Let's do it. And I didn't mean for the show to be about marital rape. I was just saying we asked her about marital rape, and she just doesn't know. She didn't seem to be able to answer it, all right, which was weird to me. I think that that's something you should be able to do. And I don't know of, I think there's like maybe one other Caribbean country, if we're talking about our specific regional norms. I don't know of any other Caribbean country. Maybe I want to say St. Vincent or one of these, or St. Lucia, I'm not 100% sure, that has not explicitly criminalized marital rape, other than us. And so I don't get why this is some line in the sand that we're all afraid to cross. I don't. Maybe you do. All right? Haiti doesn't. Haiti, and don't at me about Haiti. They don't. All right? I can't make believe for you that it's a different place than it is. Okay? We don't. Haiti doesn't. All right? I'm not sure who else. We'll have to see. Anyway, let's go to a break. Are we going to phone call? Let's go to a phone call, then we'll go to a break, and we'll talk some more about what Davis said. Jamaica. Jamaica doesn't. Yeah. Us, Haiti, Jamaica. So we're, you know, those are the two other countries closest to us in terms of culture, right? Haiti, Bahamas, Jamaica. That's interesting. Cuba, it's illegal. Barbados, it's illegal. Trinidad, it's illegal, as far as I'm aware. Right? Haiti, Jamaica, who else? And Bahamas. I don't know what other Caribbean countries it's not illegal in. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Vaughn, how you doing, bro?
I'm good. What's going on?
Good. Listen, I think that the guy named who called, I disagree with him.
Okay.
I don't believe he say he used the example of throwing down your wife or whatever. Now, right. That's abusive, but I'm pretty sure I don't have to go to that extent. But if there was intercourse with your wife, now I'm a man, I'm a married man for 27 years, and you don't have to, if you have there's a difference between some stranger pulling a woman off the side of the street and you doing the same thing to a woman, your wife, not pulling her off, she's there. You've had a relationship with her. There's a difference. If she goes, she can go to the police and simply say, you probably physically mishandled her. She ain't going to say nothing but no rape. because y'all have always been engaged in sexual intimacy.
Yeah, if you beat your wife, she's going to go to the police anyway, right? Yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So if you physically try, yeah. But she ain't going to go and claim, oh, you had sexual intercourse, rape. That ain't going to happen. Mm. I dare any woman to call and say what has happened, except perhaps where there was the person was single. No, sorry, single. They were separated, or there was, or they were in getting separated. That would probably be the only example of women with sight. But no married women who's in their house with their husband to claim that they were raped, even if the man, you know, sometimes the woman, maybe the headache or maybe some kind of example she'll have. Maybe she frustrated because you ain't do what you're supposed to do.
Mm.
She'll just lay down and play dead, and you do what you gotta do.
But now, if she's divorcing you,
huh?
If she's divorcing you or you're legally separated, if she's initiated divorce or legally separated and you're still living together, whatever like that.
Right, so I can understand in that context. But what happened, I think the brush is so broad because when we initially started discussion on this in the Bahamas, they were saying even if you having sex, in the middle of sex, if the woman says, I won't have it no longer, and you don't pull out, that's also grounds for marital rape.
But that's regular rape, right?
Huh?
And you having consensual sex with a woman in the middle, who's not your wife, and in the middle of having sex with her, she says, no, I don't want it anymore. They tell you have to stop, right?
That's stupid. That's how you can do that. That's idiot.
She doesn't want to have sex with you anymore.
No, but bro, anyhow, I disagree with that. I strongly disagree with that. Man and woman different. And we got to this point, and then you having a problem with it. Now, I'm saying at that point now, I say before we start, and I'm a Christian man too, so I only talking about those who married, I ain't dealing with nothing else. But,
right. You
know, and then secondly, you sound like Rogan, man. You know, Rogan, I had to apologize after those people, after them people. You know, I said, listen, Rogan, man, I say, well, one sounding like that, me too, and change it.
No, so I never supported marital rape, you know, I always was against it.
No, not on the rape part. No, I meant like how when Clint pulled your card. You go, you sound like you get you two and nine now, man. Listen.
Oh, no, man. Look.
Strong, man. Don't get like Rogan. Rogan them, because now money involved, he must be shipping.
Man, if it's $100 million for me, I was going to apologize, too. I was going to switch it up, too.
Thanks, man.
All right. Cool. So, okay. I'm not trying to be insensitive. At what point during sexual intercourse do you then say, I'm not stopping at this point. Right? This is too definitive for me. Anyway, let's go to a break and we'll be back.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them on 242-356-0249.
Want to be the MVP of the party for the big game this year? Just take your favorite Frito-Lay chips, Lay Stacks, or Tostitos and salsa to the party, and you will be the MVP and have a chance to win cash. All you have to do is purchase any large Frito-Lay chips, Tostitos, salsa, or two Lay Stacks from participating grocery stores. Think you can throw the football? Well, come and play the throw and win game this Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. at Solomon's Yamacraw. Just throw the football through the upright with instant prizes, including tablets. Frito-Lay, distributed by Island Wholesale.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. you have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com, visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 for Freeport.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're learning that, like, if you've already started having sex and then they tell you don't have sex if you're married, then you shouldn't stop them from finishing having sex. Someone told me that the common law definition is you're allowed, like, one more. Anyway, never mind. All right, so just so we're clear, and I didn't mean for the entire show to be about marital rape, but fair enough, you know, it's interesting to get people's views on it. In our Sexual Offenses and Domestic Violence Act, and I'm so interested to understand what exactly Lisa Ramming says is going to change in this, all right? But the Sexual Offenses and Domestic Violence Act defines rape, okay? According to our law, not according to Juan, all right, not according to the Bible, according to the law of the Bahamas, rape is the act of any person not under 14 years of age having sexual intercourse with another person who is not his spouse. A, without the consent of that other person. B, without consent which has been extorted by threats of fear or bodily harm, meaning you can't say, I'm going to kill you if you don't sleep with me, and therefore you say yes, or you say, I'm going to publish these nude pictures of you and you sleep with me, and then you say yes, that's still considered rape. Or with consent obtained by personating the spouse of that other person, that means that you have led that person to believe you were that person's spouse. So I don't know if you've heard, there was a case in the Bahamas where a man was staying at his friend's house and his wife was asleep, and the man went inside the room and the wife thought that was her husband and he initiated sex, and being that she thought that it was him, she had sex with him. Come to find out it wasn't him. You would be charged with rape in that instance if you had led her to believe you were her spouse, or vice versa. Or with consent obtained by false and fraudulent representations as to the nature and quality of the act. Okay? So rape is the act of any person not under 14 years of age having sexual intercourse with another person who is not his spouse. And the law uses the definition of the masculine definitions to encompass men and women. So it's not just, well, only a man could rape, because I'll define sexual intercourse for you in law. Sexual intercourse, if for the purposes of the Sexual Offenses and Domestic Violence Act is a sexual connection occasioned by any degree of penetration of the vagina or any person or anus of any person or by the stimulation of the vulva of any person or anus of any person by or with any part of the body of another person or any object used by another person, except where the penetration or stimulation is carried out for proper medical purposes, and sexual connection occasioned by the introduction of any part of the penis of any person into the mouth of another person. So, any degree of penetration of the vagina of any person or anus of any person, or by the stimulation of the vulva of any person or anus of any person, by or with any part of the body of another person or any object used by another person. Huh. Also, sexual intercourse is the introduction of any part of the penis of any person into the mouth of another person. So you can rape another, so oral sex can be rape as well, if they haven't consented. Let's go to phone line. Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, pleasant. Good afternoon. Juan, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How's it going?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Wanted to make a comment on this rape thing, but I also want to discuss something else that current bill.
Mm-hmm.
Senator, you said you're going to discuss it in the past. We haven't moved on as yet to other topics. Look, Juan, some of these comments coming from the callers, they make absolutely no sense. Right? It's one thing for a physical assault to take place, right? Mm-hmm. In a relationship, right? And what these callers are speaking about is a common sense physical assault, right? And naturally, if someone is physically assaulted in order to gain access to sexual intercourse, that's automatic rape, right? I don't think anyone wants to be in a relationship where they have to physically assault an individual in order to get raped, whether that be a woman doing the assaulting or a man doing the assaulting. That just makes no sense. But at the same time, one, I think the individual who is of the belief that in a marriage you should be able to withhold sex, they are completely confused about what marriage is about. Because as you give yourself to an individual during marriage, you become one. How do you rape yourself if you become one? It absolutely makes no sense. And I would like to see how in a marriage someone could successfully overcome the marriage laws in order to try and place rape on their partner or on their husband or wife. It makes absolutely no sense.
So let's explore that, though. Let's explore that, right? So
I want to take some of the kind of care too.
No, that's fine. I don't want to move on too quickly from what you just said, though. So before we go to a break, you're saying that you shouldn't withhold sex in a marriage.
You should not.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. What are the parameters of that?
If your partner is
My partner wants sex first thing in the morning and I have to get the kids ready for school, I have to go to work, he should be able to have sex with his partner.
You should be able to.
Whether she's late for work, whether she's taking care of the children, whether her sick mother is in the next room, you should get sex when you want sex.
One, if you're in a marriage.
Okay, if your wife is on her job and you want sex, you can go up to her job and have sex with her.
Come on now, Juan. You're painting incomplete and unfair and ridiculous scenarios.
Okay.
Come on now, Juan.
Okay.
Right. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying.
Then there should be parameters.
There are parameters. And I qualified my statement by saying, so reasonable individuals, Juan. So you should be able to reason through scenarios, but it should never come to a circumstance. Can you make it only one?
I can, yeah, go ahead.
It should never come to a circumstance in a marriage where one partner feels that they can simply go right withhold sex from the other partner.
Mm-hmm.
That would make no sense. And any individual in a marriage who is under that level of thinking, they need to understand what the marriage laws are about when you come before a man and woman.
because that individual clearly would not understand what their obligations are. Now to move on. Can I move on to my co-interviewer, Ronald?
Yeah, you got a minute, though.
Yeah, okay.
Unless you want to call back. Yeah.
I can call back if you need me to.
Yeah, call back. We're going to talk to Erica Morse after the break and call back after that. All right.
Okay, no problem.
That's deep. That's really interesting to me. So, if you're married to a woman, she shouldn't withhold sex. Even if you're having sex with another woman or you're having unprotected sex, let's say with a man, then your wife shouldn't be able to withhold sex for you. We need to get like a list of like, I think that's the point of this, to where consent is just defined as I don't want to have sex with you. I don't need to check off a bunch of boxes. To where you had sex with somebody else and you got a sexually transmitted infection, but we're married and you should be able to have sex with me whenever you want. I think that's why you get kind of a blanket. If she says no, it's no. Because there's too many variables to like write a comprehensive list about it. We'll be back after this. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. We'll get back to our discussion in just a few minutes, but before we do that, we've got Erica Morris on the line, who's done such great work with Junior Achievement, done such great work with getting kids scholarships to university, particularly kids who normally wouldn't be able to afford tertiary education, and now she's got another initiative going on that we want to help support her with. Erica, how great to speak to you.
Hi, Juan. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. My blood pressure was up just a little high listening to the show before I came on. But anyway, we're going to bring it down.
We'll bring it down. Yeah. All right. So tell us about this new initiative that you're doing.
Well, actually, it's not really a new initiative. It is the new part of it is that it's virtual. We're having our Junior Achievement and Legacy College Readiness and Tours. We'll be presenting for Junior Achievement their virtual college fair since we aren't able to go face-to-face.
Excellent.
And we have over 20 schools, okay? Only thing is you have to actually go and register. You have to go to jabahamas.org or legacycollegereadiness.com and register for the college fair, okay? A lot of the schools there, they wanted to come down, but unfortunately, because we couldn't be face-to-face, we decided we would just do it virtually. The good thing about that is all of the students that are in 11th or 12th grade in the Bahamas are able to participate in this college fair.
Excellent.
Okay. We have over 20 schools from the Bahamas, United States, Grenada, and in France. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you say you have to go to juniorachievement.org or give us the other website?
No, it's jabahamas.org.
Okay, jabahamas.org. Yeah.
Or Legacy College Readiness. LegacyCollegeReadiness.com.
LegacyCollegeReadiness.com. Okay, excellent.
Yes.
Okay, so...
And yes.
Tell us more about it. You tell us more about it. Tell us more about the program, how it works, and who's eligible exactly.
Right, okay. Everybody's eligible. 11th and 12th graders are eligible to participate in this virtual college fair. And one of the things that I want to tell all of the students that are interested in participating in the virtual college fair, don't just go to the schools that you are familiar with. We're going to talk about the, you know, the United States. The United States have almost 4,000 colleges and universities. And just because you're familiar with one particular school doesn't necessarily mean that that school is the best fit for you. Okay? So we're encouraging you to just go ahead and register for all of the schools. And it's not going to be a Zoom session where you are able to go into different rooms at the same time. No. Each school will have 1 hour to present. So you're focusing just on that one school, and you're able to hear everything that that school has to offer. And we're also going to be giving out throughout the week, we're going to be giving out scholarships. But I can't tell you what schools you have to come and be a part of the virtual college fair in order to figure out which school will be giving away scholarships.
Okay, excellent. Now, what are the dates that students can know? I know you said that it was happening next month. Tell us more about it.
Yes, it starts on February the 14th. I know a lot of people, oh my God, that's Valentine's Day. But that's the day you need to love yourself. Love yourself and register for the college fair. So it's the 14th through the 19th, that Saturday. And we'll be presenting 4 schools each day.
Okay.
And it starts at 6:30. Yes.
So the 14th through the 19th. And register now, and it's each day on the 14th and 19th. Gotcha.
Correct.
Okay. I'm writing all this down so I can tell people. I'm writing it all down so I can tell people when it's going on.
And I appreciate this. Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And the spots are filling up. We have about 100 spots for each session, and they're actually filling up because this is going to be open for all of the 11th and 12th graders throughout the Bahamas.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about the opportunities that a lot of people have gotten through this same program before. I know you often highlight it on Facebook about students who reach out to you and tell you how grateful they are and how much of it has changed their lives. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, you're going to make me cry, especially during this time like this. You know, when you have a student that comes back and they're telling you, you know, Ms. Miles, if it wasn't for you, you know, pressing and basically putting a smack down on me, I wouldn't be pursuing my bachelor's degree right now. You know, and I've been through that process. I've been in a lot of those students' shoes that they are right now, 17, 18 years old, graduating from high school and not knowing what it is that you want to do. Is college for everybody? Absolutely not. Okay, so that's why we have some technical schools there as well. But we have so many different opportunities. Like, I have my first student that's off in school in France, C-Center. I can't pronounce the French name. And it's an all-business school in France. And it's much cheaper to go there than it would be to go to a school in the United States. And then if you decide that you wanted to transfer, they are in partnerships with Northwestern, Rice University, Temple University. So that should kind of give you what type of stature that school is in. You know, we have St. George's University for my medical students. And a lot of you come to know, when it's time to apply for medical school, there's a less than 1% chance that you would get into a medical school as an international student in the United States or in Canada. Okay, so we have St. George's. We have schools like High Point. That's in North Carolina. I call that, you know, the Disney World of all colleges. We have Lipscomb University, MTSU, where we have a Bahamian who's the president there. And those of you that are part of Junior Achievement, those kids end up paying between $4,000 to $8,000 a year for the simple fact that they are a junior achiever. Okay, so that's a lot of one of the benefits of going to Junior Achievement or being a part of Junior Achievement, because these schools actually partner with Junior Achievement. We have the University of Houston, Victoria. You basically would be going to school there because you're a junior achiever. You will possibly only be paying maybe $8,000 to $10,000 a year for school. So not only are we helping you get, you know, scholarships for the schools that's the best fit for you, Junior Achievement tried to partner with some of these schools to give achievers scholarships as well. That's only for Junior Achievers. For example, Middle Tennessee State. Junior Achievement is the only entity outside of the United States that has a regional scholarship. So with all of the different scholarships that the school will give you, that you may get from the government in the Bahamas, you will get an additional $10,000 for the simple fact that you're a Junior Achiever.
Nice.
But that's not a reason for you just to join Junior Achievement, because you have to work.
Absolutely. Well, this is awesome. I'm going to have you back on before the actual fair begins on the 14th so we could talk more about it. But just to recap,
yes,
it's the Junior Achievement Annual College Fair. It's virtual this year. It is from Monday, the 14th of February, to Saturday, the 19th of February. It starts each day at 5 p.m. on Monday through Friday and 9 a.m. on Saturday. You got over 20 schools from Grenada, France, the U.S. You're going to do 4 schools a day. There's 100 spots for each session, and we're looking to get as many students scholarships to go off and get a tertiary education as possible. You got to go to jabahamas.org to sign up. All 11th and 12th graders are eligible, or you can go to legacycollegereadiness.com.
Correct.
All right. Erica, I thank you so much for all that you do. I know that you're going through your own personal challenges, and yet you still give back to so many people, and we thank you for it, and we love you for it.
And thank you so much. I just want to say this. I am going through my own challenges right now, and just helping my kids. This is the only thing. I'm going through this by myself. I'm here by myself. And just helping these kids out and putting this fair together is one of the few things that has actually given me joy. And to know that I have to fight through this so that I can continue to do what God has put me here to do. And for those of you that registered, thank you so much. I won't be there because the day that the fair starts will be the day that I actually have my surgery. So, Ron, I want to thank you so much. And for all of the students that's registering and everybody that sends their love to me every day, thank you. Thank you so much. And please register so that we can get you guys the best fit colleges for you. Thank you, Juan.
You're welcome, Erica. And, you know, the entire Junior Achievement Board told me and staff told me to send you their love and that they're pulling for you and that you're a very, very special person and you should never forget it. All right? So all
thank
the best
you,
to you. We're going to talk
so
again. We're going to talk again before the actual college fair. Take care out there.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to go to a break, and then we're going to get back to our discussion. That was Erica Morris. You can let me know if you want to know more about the Junior Achievement College Fair. If it weren't for people like Erica, who just so selflessly give so much, even in light of their own personal struggles, I don't know where we'd be. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
King Nassau has taken spice to new heights with the new Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken Sandwiches. Enjoy your choice of a flame-grilled Whopper or crispy chicken filet topped with chipotle sauce, guacamole, jalapenos, cheese, lettuce, tomato, all on a fresh potato bun. The new Baja Sandwiches at Burger King Nassau pack plenty of flavor, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings, it's the perfect way to fill your day. The Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken Sandwich are only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Want to be the MVP of the party for the big game this year? Just take your favorite Frito-Lay chips, Lay Stacks, or Tostitos and salsa to the party, and you will be the MVP and have a chance to win cash. All you have to do is purchase any large Frito-Lay chips, Tostitos, salsa, or two Lay Stacks from participating grocery stores. Think you can throw the football? Well, come and play the throw and win game this Saturday, 1 to 3 p.m. at Solomon's Yamacraw. Just throw the football through the uprights. Instant prizes, including tablets. Frito-Lay, distributed by Island Wholesale.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Before the break, we were talking about the non... Well, we started off talking about how the Minister of State for Social Services was less than clear as to whether we actually are going to be tackling the issue of marital rape, which is, when I say we, I mean the Parliament, the government. And so then we got into a discussion more so about marital rape and what rape is defined under law and how spouses are excluded in law from actually making a rape complaint. We've got a variety of viewpoints on it. I know Anton had said he wanted to say something else about it. He's free to do so. You can call us at 323. Anyone can call us at 323-6232 who's not, you know, let's stay within the bounds of decency. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. The text line is 422-4796. This text says, the international push for marital rape was to address the problem of forced marriages and abuse in many cultures. For us, the legislation will be just a thing, but nothing much will be disrupted. The higher bar is how do you prosecute and get convictions? True. And listen, that's what I thought, too, when they talked about marital rape. I thought, hey, that's easy, right? It's not like, oh, there's a pervasive marital rape culture in the Bahamas. Well, there may be. It's not like we were saying there's this pervasive marital rape culture in the Bahamas, and the Bahamas has to do something in law about it. To me, it was more so there's a pervasive culture of marital rape in terms of there are lots of child marriages with girls as young as 9 years old. In some countries, we're not going to call any names because we don't want to be too culturally insensitive, although it just is what it is, right? If your country has a lot of child marriages, then a lot of child marriages. It just is what it is. I didn't make it that way. But there are a lot of child marriages. There are a lot of arranged marriages. There are a lot of forced marriages where women are still being sold, okay, into marriage. There are a lot of marriages where women don't have rights and they are being abused. We don't have that pervasively so much in the Bahamas where you have no protections under law. So I thought it was like, okay, yeah, marital rape. We'll say no so that all the other countries who are doing it can go, well, none of the rest of the civilized world thinks this is a good idea. And they go, okay, well, maybe if everybody else is saying it's not such a good idea, and it's out of step with the mores of the rest of the planet, then maybe we should look at this, like slavery, these sorts of things, you know what I mean? So I thought it was going to be easy, like how we don't have child marriages in the Bahamas. I was wrong. Maybe because we just didn't explain it properly. Maybe because there's just a fundamental disconnect and people don't believe that should enter into a discussion about marriage at all. I don't know. There's just some people who say, mainly the church, who's saying that we're not going there with it. I thought it would have been simple. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan.
Hey, how's it going?
I apologize for calling back, but there was a point that I missed.
Go ahead.
Oh, Lord, I must be getting old because I agree with Anton. But listen, Anton was correct as well. There's one aspect of marriage that we're not mentioning and we're not adhering to. Do you realize that deprivation in a marriage from sex, and it only happens in marriage, that you could deprive someone 2, 3, 4 times sex, that's grounds for divorce?
Is it?
Yes. If your wife or your husband deprives you of sex and you go to you report that and you complain about that several times, you can divorce that person. That's deprivation.
Okay. 4 or 5 times.
That is how difficult it is to fool around with this thing called marital rape.
You sure about this? 4 or 5 times? Who told you that?
Listen to me, Juan. I was married before. This ain't someone who he been married.
And it was, was it 5 times or no?
Listen, you could deprive somebody 2 or 3 times, depending on the circumstances in a marriage, and you could get grounds for divorce. You ever hear about this situation? Someone go out the house and don't come back and marry. They married and they go out the house and don't come back for a little while. They are considered disdaining the marriage?
I know that you, anyway, I haven't heard of that. But that's possible, I'm sure.
That is on the book. You could deprive someone and get divorced, but for the deprivation of sex.
Okay.
All right. Just take it, McCoy.
Okay. Okay. I'm gonna tell you what Justice Gonzalo Cibolla wrote an article on grounds for divorce in the Bahamas, and you can seek a judicial separation on the same grounds as for a divorce, okay? If you are legally separated, that doesn't mean your marriage has been dissolved, even if you're not living in the same home. However, if you're legally separated, it does, and you're not living in the same home, according to Justice Gonzalo Cibolla, it does eliminate your right of inheritance as a spouse. So if you're legally separated and you're not living in the same home, and your husband dies, and you're not divorced, then you no longer have the right of next of kin. You follow me? Like, normally, if your husband drops down dead, or let's say your wife drops down dead, you're the next of kin as a spouse, right? Before the children, usually. And if you're legally separated and you're not living in the same house, you dissolve your inheritance rights. But if we weren't legally separated and we were just living apart, even though you can file for divorce if we've been living apart for a prolonged period, I still would get all your stuff if you died and we weren't actually legally separated or divorced. In any event, you can file for divorce, according to Justice Gonzalo Cibolla, on the following grounds: adultery, cruelty, desertion for a continuous period of at least 2 years, living separately for a continuous period of at least 5 years, sexual relations with an animal, or I ain't write the law, Papa. That's a valid ground for divorce. Having sexual relations with an animal, right? I think we're done here. Right. Let's just show me where you want me to sign. Or rape by the husband. Now, again,
rape only occurs if you are legally set. Let's go back to the law, right, until I show you where rape occurs, okay? You can still be married and under certain conditions and say that you were raped, okay? So if you are legally separated or in the process of divorce and not living together, you can say that you were raped, all right, even if you're married. Anyway. This says once either party wants to stop, the other person should stop. Anything else is rape. It doesn't matter that penetration has already happened. If it continues, it's rape. We also need to have a conversation about sexual assault and workplace harassment from both men and women. But we accept these things as just another part of our culture and don't address it. I think we do need to address sexual harassment in the workplace. And I'll also say this without getting too personal. It's very difficult to stop once a sex act has been initiated. But it's not impossible. Okay? I can tell you that. I think we do need to have a conversation about sexual harassment and assault in the workplace. Remember, what's the dude's name? Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, right? And they were talking about how he was carrying on with his staff. I was like, Cuomo, you're not in the Bahamas, bro. You can't do that in the States. Here, probably, you can go harassing your secretary and aides and stuff like that. You can't do that over there. I think he's got some Bahamian in him. Anyway, he resigned, so. All right, let's go to the phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, Juan, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
Okay, so I'm back with it now. I wanted to pick up the conversation. You said you wanted to discuss other current affairs.
You said you had something else to say.
Yeah, right. And so I wanted to pick up a matter on, it's still in the news cycle, and with reference to what the Prime Minister said, and the Minister of Economic Affairs, Michael Alkitis, talked about it today at the press conference. By the way, I don't agree with you, but you said nothing came out of the press conference. There was some good information that came out.
Oh, yeah? What was that?
Especially on Alkitis' contribution. The Minister of State and Social Affairs didn't get to go into much details, but I saw where she had an entire booklet to be able to speak to a lot of issues. She spoke to a monitor, the council that was headed by Ruby Nottage is looking into.
That was formed 10 years ago, Anton?
Yeah, but one, she just came to office 16th of September 2021, right? And so if the matter had not been moved ahead and it's still relevant, it's good that the administration is looking to bring into the present that which was left on the shelves to die, that is still relevant today as it relates to marital rape and all this kind of stuff. But none of that.
She didn't tell you anything at all about what they're doing with marital rape.
No, but she didn't, right. Like I said, she didn't get into the details, but she had a booklet with her to be able to, but the press, I guess, didn't ask her the relevant questions. But Michael Alkitis, as well as the financial secretary, about 2 weeks ago, financial secretary Simon Wilson reiterated that as it relates to the national stadium that everyone is making a big story out of, which is, I can understand from some perspective, the prime minister, who is minister of finance as well, gave a full commitment that he is going to fund all of the government's obligations, right? And one, that is what I want to touch on. That statement from the prime minister, that is a very powerful one. That statement from the prime minister, Davis, is a part of what has led to the billions of dollars that we are experiencing right now in our national deficit. Because you are an administration in the incompetent authority, Hubert Minnis, who left a lot of projects on the table to die, such as clinics, airports, hospitals, school repairs, et cetera, government infrastructure, and other necessary infrastructural upgrades, docks, et cetera, other facilities throughout the family islands, right? These costs, one, they're not going to decrease. They're going to increase continually rob you labor for 5 years or 10 years down the line, the cost will double and triple. And that is what leads to the government wasting money. That's where a lot of the government's wastage actually goes. And so when you have a responsible prime minister who recognizes the irresponsible and careless behavior, financial behavior of previous prime ministers, and he's taking the position that he's going to fund the $1 billion in obligations, but he's simply not going to put it on the backs of the Bahamian people all at once. He's going to allow for the economy to see if it's going to perform. He's going to allow for revenue to see if it's going to increase.
What billion dollars in obligations?
Pardon?
$1 billion in obligations?
That's what Alkidis also stated. I was listening because...
Michael Alkidis explained... What $1 billion in obligations that Philip Brave Davis alluded to was today?
That was a good question that was asked by the media, because I also want to know what $1 billion is.
Yeah, we all want to know. He didn't explain it.
Funded obligation. However, it has already been identified that there's $1 billion by an independent accounting firm, Deloitte & Touche, I think is the accounting firm, and Alkidis stated that they are hopeful that they will be able to table that document, which would specifically detail all of the line items.
When are they tabling that? When are they tabling that? When is that getting tabled, the Deloitte & Touche report?
The media budget, as Alkidis stated, which is going to happen shortly, which is going to happen this month, I think.
Okay.
And so, one, let me end with this point. And so, it is very important for the BMA people to understand when we are incurring all of the debt, and we are increasing the national deficit and the national overall debt, and we are having to borrow all this foreign debt, on top of all of the Bahamian debt, it is very important for the Bahamian people to understand that it is careless and irresponsible financial decisions by previous administrations that leads to the compounding tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars in additional costs over what the original cost would have been if the government was responsible and simply continued with the projects that was already left on the books by previous administrations.
I gotcha. Okay. I'll wait for the $1 billion to be detailed, because nobody's detailed that for me yet. This says, hey Juan, that definition makes rape a bit male-specific when you consider the word penetration. So I think we as a country must redefine it. Overall, I believe no citizen should be protected from raping another citizen, man or woman. I think the problem here, though, is throwing that word marital in there. So we should redefine rape and remove the spousal aspects, not the flashing ones, and make it definitive that a man can rape a woman. Thoughts? I mean, the legislation seems to me to include women as well. If you say that sexual intercourse includes sexual connection by any degree of penetration of the vagina or anus or mouth, that's pretty broad. Actually, it says penis of any person or in the mouth of another person. It's a lot of male specificity in there, I won't lie to you. But there's room for, like, a woman to rape a man in there, too. Or a man to rape a man. Okay. Let's go to the phone lines. Good afternoon, welcome to the revolution. Good afternoon, are you there? No, Anton just sucked the will out of you to hold on. No problem. Juan, I'm a man and these men are talking crap. If the woman don't want to have sex with you and she's withholding it and you have a problem, then carry your butt and get a divorce. What's wrong with you people? Anyway, I'm trying not to get too personal. I have the opposite problem of a lot of these people, apparently. Says, please ask Anton, if we are one and I decide to cut off my testicles that are on his body, if that's okay. Well, pretty sure I know Anton's answer to that. Says, Juan, you sure you ain't missing read that in some other country law? People at Nassau is mess around with animals? This is a crazy world we live in. I think that's just like your strongest, like, you know, adultery is one thing. You can work through possibly, depending on the circumstance. Bestiality, I don't know that there's any coming back from that. This says, one, so that's good grounds for rape. My husband and I were legally separated in 2008 because of his cheating and abandonment. One time I came by him, he was drunk and tried to rape me. He said, we're still married. Is this okay? Yeesh. It's not okay. Not to mention my husband sleeps with tons of prostitutes. Sorry, one or two special prostitutes. My bad. No means no, no matter what. I also notice only men seem to like to talk about this marital rape subject. Our voices don't seem to matter. I mean, just take the word spouse out of the law. That's it. That's it. That's all you have to do. I don't know why we're acting like this is some huge thing that we have to push up the mountain. All you got to do is take the word here. Let me show you what to do. This section of the Sexual Offenses and Domestic Violence Act is repealed. Rape is the act of any person not under 14 years of age having sexual intercourse with another person who is not his spouse. To be replaced by, rape is the act of any person not under 14 years of age having sexual intercourse with another person. And then you list the reasons. Take out who is not his spouse, and you're solid. And then you'll take out C, which is obtained by personating the spouse of that other person. One, so that means plenty of men will be in jail. So what will happen to our country? Will plenty of men be in jail? Are there a lot of men right now who force themselves on their wives? Is this a pervasive thing that happens? Because from my experience talking to other men, most men complain that they don't get enough sex, right? Not that they just take whatever they want, that they would like more sex. Juan, what school did Anton go to? Once you show up with your book, you pass the assignment. I guess she had a booklet, Kermie. So, press conference done, right? She brought the booklet. Says, desertion in marriage is a real thing. That brother needs to cite the saying, no to sex five times is grounds for divorce. Says, good show, sounds like divorce is the answer to your spouse saying, no, it's not rape, and no one goes to jail. Simple. Says, we keep pushing at the picking of these issues. Dubai, the stadium, marital rape, Freeport, Monday could be the garbage in the roads. At what point do we realize they're all related? These people standing up to speak for us are incompetent. The process by which the party selects them is craziness. We cannot continue to allow the garbage men to be the Minister of Finance with no qualifications and no experience. How long are we going to be shocked by our outcomes? This is, hi, Juan. Great topic today. So, Juan, I'm a woman. What happens if a man asks his wife for sex and she keeps saying no? What should he do? Divorce her or seek counseling? I would seek counseling because, anyway, let me not tell y'all to live in sin, right? I'd figure out what floats your boat before you have the wedding and get married. That's just me because y'all might be on a different page altogether as insofar as what kind of sexual intercourse you would like to have compared to what kind of sexual intercourse your spouse wants to have. They could be vastly, vastly different. That may not be the right person for you sexually. It says, I'm a married woman, and even if I'm mad, I still want to make love. Sweetness. All right, well. Okay. That happens too sometimes. Like pick a fight so the person gets mad. You know what I mean? The makeup, you know what I mean? I'm not in you guys' marriage. Y'all do what y'all gotta do. I'm just telling you, you know, you shouldn't take advantage of your spouse, in my view.
says, in non-marriage sexual situations, it's a little easier to establish that something happened. In a marriage, however, it's a little hard to secure a conviction of the marriage because the suspect is not denying having sex. Physical evidence will show sex, but that doesn't mean the physical evidence will show rape. I'm against all forms of rape, just putting in my point. I mean, that's you know what? That's something to consider. That we lived, let's say we live together and we're having sex several times a week, right? Some of y'all don't have jobs. It's every day with y'all, twice a day. But let's say we're having sex several times a week and we live together, right? And just one of those times you're saying that it wasn't consensual, but we've been having sex the whole time. If there's a rape kit, then it's going to show that we had sex. And I'm going to say, well, yeah, we had sex X, Y, Z. And she can say, well, this one time it wasn't this. It could get complicated. It says, no, Kirby, don't know what you mean. Says, no, I don't know what you mean. Hey, anyway. One in the Bahamas, we actually have sex more with the sweetheart than with the wife. Oh, no. Some of y'all are independently wealthy. I don't get the whole sweetheart thing. Obviously, there are a lot of men taking their wives, and so many defend keeping this in law. This one is really tiring having to listen to Anton go on all day moving the agenda of the PLP. Come on, man, and I'm a PLP. Says, good day. I've been married for 21 years and never once have I or my wife ever asked the other for sex. It just happens. And I know when she's not in the mood or not. There are just ways of knowing. Yeah, after 21 years, I would imagine you would know. Says, so all these years I must have been raping my wife because I don't ask. No, I mean, in relationships are different, right? I'm just going to give you a hypothetical here. Right. So some people, I don't have to give you a hypothetical. I'll give you a personal. Right. I've been in relationships where your partner is comfortable with you, with them being asleep and you coming home and you waking them up and initiating sex. Right. And I've been in relationships where my partner did not want that. And you have to tailor your sexual behavior toward your particular partner. So, and in this case, your wife, right? So if your wife is like, yeah, wake me up and let's do it. I'm not tripping. Then that's your relationship. But you may have a wife who says, I need to get my sleep. I'm not with it. It says, good day, Juan. We seem to have a lot of rapists in Nassau. Some men have to rough up the women and take it. It's weird. Juan, what if men start saying no in the middle? Right, exactly. Something's going on then. Right. That's not a normal thing. All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be back.
There's only one way to have a better morning.
How?
Start your mornings the best way with our 2 for $6 breakfast sandwiches at Wendy's. For a limited time, choose any two of your favorite breakfast sandwiches, including the fresh Kraken Sack Muffin, honey buttermilk chicken biscuit, double sausage muffin, or the sausage egg and cheese biscuit. Wash it all down with our cold brew shake or coffee. Better mornings always start at Wendy's. Wendy's, different inside and out. Excludes airport locations.
Happy anniversary, my gateway. Did you know that you can request and pay for over 35 government services on mygateway.gov.bs? Sign up today and access government services online with efficiency and simplicity. It's a celebration of a year of collective success on our digital transformation journey. My Gateway, making government work for you.
We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Let me just say one thing before we move on, which has nothing to do with marital rape. Can we stop saying there's $1 billion in commitments that the FNM didn't put in the pre-election report? There's no billion. Nobody has shown that there's $1 billion in commitments that the FNM didn't put in the pre-election report. I'm no FNM supporter. I don't care either way if they're the government or not. But there's no $1 billion because nobody has said there's a billion. Here's why there's no $1 billion. Because you didn't put $1 billion in additional spending into the budget when you had it. You didn't do it in the supplementary budget. You're not going to add $1 billion in expenditure over the course of even the next 4 or 5 years when you do the mid-year budget in a couple of weeks. Halkidis has shown no detail for any $1 billion in commitments that we didn't, that weren't included in the pre-election report. And the government of the Bahamas under the Progressive Liberal Party has made no allowance to fund $1 billion in undisclosed commitments that weren't in the pre-election report. The Progressive Liberal Party government has not included the $31 million to finish that stadium in the budget. They may do so in the mid-year budget and borrow to that effect, but there's no allowance for it in this budget at all. So let's stop saying it until someone gives me a document that not only details $1 billion in commitment, but also shows me the government going to Parliament to secure $1 billion worth of funding. Extra. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, quick little humorous joke here. You know, bestiality is a reality, unfortunately. It's all about on the internet. People, sick people. I don't know.
That is unfortunate.
I don't know where they're living in. Yeah, but right. I just wanted to some information on the barbarians that were calling in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who can't seem to fathom in their minds that there should be such thing as marital rape. I wouldn't call it marital rape. They should deviate. They should diversify it a little bit and call it unlawful, forceful marriage consent. And so to make it look a little different, because rape is kind of barbarous, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for someone like me, you know, I ain't getting into one business marriage because I got 4 marriages licensed up there, and that was married. But the thing is with me, sex with me requires reciprocity. I require reciprocity. I can't see how a man could force himself on a woman that don't feel good. That's animalistic. I just can't conceive that. So the gentleman was right when he said if they refuse the sex, you know what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the lady text that actually gave me a good laugh. That's the problem with the call. She said, her husband has sex with some special prostitutes, right? But he's still laughing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of love that because that's the reality of it. And so this gives the reason that a woman should be no means no. You feel me?
I got you. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. No means no. I'm with you. Okay. Let's do some more text messages. This says, the only reason you guys talking about marital rape is because some white people at the UN told you to talk about it. Had Africa come up with this simple with this silly concept, you guys would have never talked about it. I like these dudes who are so connected to the motherland, right? I like it. I love it. This person here is talking about if Africa came up with the silly concept. Almost every country in Africa has criminalized marital rape. What are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. Stop referencing Africa as if you're so familiar with what's going on. You have no idea. Almost every country in Africa has criminalized marital rape. Are there other things that go on in some cultures in Africa, particularly in some tribal cultures, that need to be addressed? Absolutely. But most of them have already criminalized marital rape. When I said 80% of the world has criminalized marital rape, you somehow thought that excluded Africa? Because they don't believe in rape in Africa? That's what you think? They don't believe that spouses can be raped in Africa? You're completely wrong. And also, to help you out, Africa's not some monolithic continent that doesn't have a variety of cultures and tribes and religions and practices. All right? Africa's not just one big, we're all African, even though there should be more unity in Africa. Africa's a very diverse place. There's no one African philosophy where they go, we don't believe in marital rape. That's stupid and wrong. Go learn something before you start talking about Africa. That annoys me when people do that. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. No? Okay. Let's go to more text messages. It says, I think more Bahamian men should travel to Latin America and the Caribbean more often. Also, stop tolerating some of these Bahamian women with their selfish ways and bad attitude. It says, how complicated is the rape issue in other countries? We don't see tons of married wives accusing husbands in countries where marital rape is recognized. I agree. I don't understand what the overarching fear is, but it says forced sex by one on another is not pleasant. I wouldn't imagine it is. It says, I don't know what these dudes are doing wrong. Like you said, treat your wife right and take care of business and you won't be begging for sex. Some of these I can't read. I'm so sorry. It says, Juan, from what you read in Lot, sounds like we already do have a marital rape law. Well, again, rape specifically excludes being against your spouse. Oh, Lord, I can't read these sexually explicit texts you guys are sending me. It says, governments will never address this or call a referendum on it because they know the power of the church to sway voters. Look at the gambling opinion poll and the gender rights laws. The church was all up in that, and the voters went against the policy. So if the church believes a man has the right to have sex with his wife without her consent, with force if necessary, then the government will be like Pontius Pilate and wash their hands. All this says to people is that if you want control over your own body as an adult in the eyes of the law, don't get married. Then people wonder why there's so many broken homes and single mothers heading them. Listen, the stance of, anyway, I'm going to say this, and I'm a believer, all right? And it says, if you get caught raping someone in Africa, you'll be burned to death if the police don't get there in time. I've witnessed it up front, and it's not pleasant at all. No, no, continue, like, fronting, like you know what's going on in Africa. Like, all of us are just Europeanized serfs who are shilling for some white man, and only you're aware of what happens in the rest of the world. Like, Africa's just one place that throughout it, everything is the same. It's insulting to Africa, and it belies your ignorance, actually, that you think that. But you go ahead. Only you know about Africa. Only you're woke, right? The rest of us, we're just here fronting for the white man, right? And only y'all know about Africa. Doubt you ever been, but only y'all know about Africa or read too much up on it. Lecture me some more about what goes down in Africa. It says, the minister has been in her post long enough to have formed positions on these issues relative to her portfolio. She should have a definitive stance. Can't stand wishy-washy fence-riding politicians. Say one, I agree. You shouldn't rape your wife if marital rape is a thing. Let's continue this trend. Next, it'll be marital robbery, where your wife moves money she didn't work for, since that ain't a real thing. Your wife could go on your bank account and take your money now and don't be on your account, and that's fine. Is that a real thing? Your wife could go close all your accounts, even if her name's not on them. And she goes, I'm his wife, here's my marriage certificate. Yeah, he's healthy and he's living, and I know he didn't come in here, but I came to clean out all his money. And you have no recourse in law? I don't know that that's a thing. So, okay, let me see if I can get this straight. So I can take all my wife's jewelry that her mother left her, and I can sell it, and she has no legal recourse against me. Is that what you're saying? Let me know. I'm not the marriage legal expert. I don't know. This says, Juan, I'm not sure if the man's law pertaining to a man's conjugal rights was ever dealt with.
I'm interested in this. So you're saying if a spouse, so the gentleman said if a spouse denies you sex five times, you have grounds for divorce. So what happens when the husband, because I know you all think y'all are like bulls, right? Like just straight up breeding bulls until the day you die. So what happens when the husband can't get it up? What happens when the husband has prostate cancer and can't give his wife sex? What happens when the husband has heart disease and can't perform? And his wife, is she then, should she divorce him? Is she allowed to go outside the marriage for sex then? I don't know. I guess we only think of these things in one particular way. Anyway, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. Anku Sarah's going to be here. You should lecture him about Africa. Tell him some more. Let us all know about Africa. How great, how much more deeply there's no white influence in Africa on anyone, and their beliefs are so separated from all of ours as humans. Talk to Anku about it. I'll see you guys on Monday, Godspeed Life. Take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.